CliffCentral.com. Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 21st of November. Look at that. It's a Wednesday morning. We're live. Ben Karpinski to my left.
Hello. Good
morning, Ben.
Yes,
Ben.
Right here.
Good morning,
right
Sia.
Counting down till Christmas.
That's right. And Gord Laws.
Hail unto the Dark Lord. I'm back.
I've got a lot of emails here. Plenty of emails from people who said, rest in peace, Gord. We're so sorry that something happened to you. Given up on you completely. In fact, every post I've put up on Instagram in the last while, there's been a rest in peace, Gord.
There's an oak called Clint from the Val who's like, either thinks the joke has got really good legs, or really believes I'm dead and someone else has my account and posts, rest in peace, Gord, we miss you, on every single post I post on Instagram ever. I hope you're listening, Clint. I'm alive, damn you.
But, Gord, you do look kind of alive. You're very pale. You look anemic almost this morning.
More than usual.
Yeah.
Really?
More than usual.
I feel all right. Well, I'm pale as hell.
I mean, look, I'm happy you're here, but it looks like you have not seen the light of day.
I'm feeling pretty good. I have had a bit of a rough time the last month and a half.
Update us, Gord.
It's a really long story. I mean, a lot's happened.
It's weird because your stories are always short.
Yeah, well, then you can go and...
and already we're back.
Yeah. Okay, well, I had a bit of a rough time and I'm back. Thanks. It's the Ben Karpinski version of my story.
That's good. Go on.
No, I have had a bit of a difficult time. I got a really, really bad bronchitis. Now, you guys will remember the time I was supposed to back Ben up for that 1 week.
Yes.
And I was manned out with flu for a week. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much, I'm not like a very sickly person generally. It's pretty normal for me to get like a flu, typically like when the seasons change. So it's fairly normal for me to have one of those like 3 to 5 day, I have the black lung, little flus. Oh. You don't normally go to the doctor. I'm very against antibiotics, but you like a bit man down for a few days. That's normal.
Right.
So that's what happened the last time. This was like bronchitis of hell. So for a full week, I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Ooh. And then for a full week, I was like as bad as I've ever been with anything in my chest. And then for a full another week, I was like improving. But I had to go to the doctor twice, 2 sets of antibiotics, lung x-rays.
Wow.
Cortisone, like this machine that costs fucking 400 rand to go on that tells you if you have asthma. Like, I could have told you I don't have asthma. So for pretty much a month with that, I sounded terrible. I was coughing all the time. Wouldn't have been able to do radio. And then straight after that, I was on this 5-month contract I told you guys about with a massive corporate, like one of the biggest financial institutions in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And during the last month, for a number of reasons, the person who employed me and who was my line manager left and didn't properly brief the person who took over as my line manager that my time was flexible. So suddenly they got very anal and they still actually owe me a shitload of money. They don't want to pay me now.
Oh.
They won't pay me for the weekends I worked, but will do want to penalize me for not being there at 8 a.m. every morning as per my explicit agreement before I took the job.
Wow.
So suddenly I had to be in CBD at 8 every morning.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it's impossible from here, man. I remember Sia once said to me, I've plotted a route for you that takes 32 minutes. You can do half the show. I'm like, the shortest it's ever taken me was just over an hour, and the longest it's ever taken me was just over 2. So that was it, man. And then, I got back, and then I thought it was time for my triumphant return. And then they said to me they needed a couple of things more from me. And because they'd paid me a lot of money to be there for 5 months, I was like, I can't just say, thank you.
Well, because then they wouldn't have paid you anything. So.
No, they've paid me.
That's how they are.
They've paid me. It's just this last month. Anyway, that's the short, long version. But I'm back and I'm happy.
That is the very definition of the most.
Yeah, you've been through the most.
Well, I mean, thank God, touch wood, God forbid, no one died and no dread diseases or anything like that.
People are still going to stay rest in peace, Gord, for a little while.
Anyway, I apologize for my absence. Please can everybody just know, finally, that I hate not being here more than any of the 7 or 8 devoted Gord fans in the audience.
Inati,
hate me not being here.
Inati says, he's back. Welcome back from the dead, Gord.
Thank you, Inati. It's nice to be not dead.
All right, so anyway, there's a lot of stuff that we've got to catch up on with Gord, but there's plenty of other good stuff too. Don't forget that today at 8:30 a.m. we bring you the second episode in our series For the Love of the Law, where we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. Today we learn about one of the leading attorneys in South Africa. He's a guy called Colin Strime. He's an expert in commercial and corporate-related litigation, insolvency law, business restructuring, and turnarounds. For the Love of Law is brought to you by Flaxman's Attorneys, one of South Africa's leading law firms. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com, where you can find all the episodes now. So, one or two really interesting things. There's this bizarre thing they do in America where they pardon the Thanksgiving turkey. You know what I'm talking about?
That new trend.
Well, it's old as hell. I think it started with Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
I just literally knew the Obamas did it.
But it's new on Twitter.
And the way there was so much fanfare with the Obamas doing it, I thought it was new.
But no, then they pardon the one and then they eat like 15 others.
Well, there's always – there's two in the rundown, right? So there's always two turkeys that are up against each other. Oh. And then one of them wins and the other one loses.
Well, like a cockfighting.
No, the president just decides, well, we're going to do a poll online, and depending on who gets the most votes, that turkey will be pardoned and be allowed to go free.
So it's not
free.
Like turkey fighting on the lawn of the White House, because that'd be quite an event.
That'd actually be quite an event, yeah. The winner gets to live.
No,
that's turkey fighting to
the
death.
It's not a violent thing, no. But it is quite entertaining, and of course it would be entertaining when Donald Trump does it, because he's
such a puss.
Let me guess, because Donald only pardoned one turkey,
now
he is literally Hitler.
Now it's time to grant peas and carrots the pardon they've been waiting for. They are extremely lucky birds. Thank you, everyone. Have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. God bless you all, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So then he pardons peas, but he doesn't pardon carrots.
No.
Carrots gets eaten.
Surely there's somebody had to have seen the gap to actually pardon them both and be that magnanimous guy.
No. So they hold the turkey and then...
Big turkey. Wow.
President Trump...
Peace, I hereby grant you a full pardon.
Which people are saying is also ironic because... you know, there are a lot of people who think that the Mueller probe, the Russian Mueller probe, is going to find Trump guilty of something, and then he will be forced to pardon himself.
Oh. But now, just getting back to peas, is it like Roman Gladiator that you eventually earn your freedom, or next year is he also up for the chop again?
No, peas is free now. He can live out his years. Okay. In fact, usually
when they send him to like a turkey, the Camp David for turkeys.
Exactly. He gets released and he gets to have his fun.
I'm skeptical. I want to see a follow-up on peas. I want to see this time next year.
You
where
think they're going to eat him?
I reckon.
Yeah, they should make a website where you can like follow Peas 24/7, except for his little bathroom hookie that he can go to on his own. Shower hour.
Shower hour. That would be interesting. And then another thing while we're on Trump is he said, I'm considering leaving the failed United Nations. They've become, they would be nothing without the U.S.
Oh, well, makes sense.
No.
Yeah. I've always thought.
Well, the United Nations, I mean, what is it?
It used to be a good idea. It was established, remember, in the 1940s by Churchill and Stalin and I think it Roosevelt, but eventually Truman. And it became a place where we would make sure that we didn't have another world war. It would be a place where international, you know, where all the nations would get together in an international context. They would talk to each other. They'd figure out ways to deal with conflict that involved talking. You know, Churchill's famous line, it's better to jaw than to war.
It's better to what?
Jaw, as in talk. And so...
I like a bit of jaw myself.
Yeah, jaw.
Do you want to jaw it up right now? With you, sir, anytime, any day, we can jaw. Never you mind, God.
Jaw on the beaches.
I'll put a bit of paw in my...
Oh,
get on the floor, do you want a bit of jaw? I'll choose not a paw.
Let me guess, you haven't missed God at all, right? I can't hear you. Your mic's not working now. That's a problem.
Your mic's not working. I think just because you didn't bloody say anything.
No, shit. No, she said something. Anyway,
oh,
it's okay.
Wait, is Nora in the back?
Yeah, she's there.
Oh, hey.
All right, so... Gord, what are you going to be doing for the holidays? Have you got any plans yet? It's the end of November. People have to make plans.
I'm getting married in Knysna in the middle of December, and I'm going to that, and I'm pegging like 2 days on. I'm actually, like, as much as I'm very happy for my homie, and he's marrying a girl I really like. That's one of those things sometimes like your mate's getting married, and you're like, yeah, okay, good for him.
Yeah.
But like, he's marrying a really cool chick, and like, it's all very happy times. And I'm emceeing the wedding. I'm fucking just petrified of being in December at this weight in that time of year in Knysna. Imagine going to Knysna, one of you oaks, wearing a 3 sizes too big wetsuit. They seal all the openings and fill it with margarine. Oh. And then you've got to go and do shit in the sun in Knysna. Oh. But yeah, I'm going to go to Cape Town / Knysna for about a week. And other than that, I'm staying home. I had a bunch of overseas travel planned, but the suctitude of Man United and some relationship issues put a halt to that. I wasn't going to spend that much money to go support my team. Uh-oh. Not because I don't support them through thick and thin, but just because the attitude of a lot of these players sucks.
That's the word of the day.
From a top-down court.
Suctitude.
Yeah, fine. It's just the team just don't have the spirit. I'm happy to support them if they lose, as long as they're trying. They are on a bit of a resurgence, but that's a whole separate discussion. My overseas trip, I decided just I'm going to spend 70 grand to go watch a team where I'm going to boo half the players.
Yeah, I would never go overseas for a sports event, but that's me. Ben, really? you'd probably go for the Masters, right?
The Masters, the Ryder Cup, about 10 things, yeah. Well, it depends on the budget, really.
Yeah, but you'd definitely put that aside. If you had the time and you had the inclination, you had the money, you'd do it.
Yeah, 2020, I'm looking to go to the Masters.
Okay. You've already set the date.
It's like a pilgrimage. It's also a great experience. I mean, I don't know about golf. I'm sure it is as well, because the courses are famous and, you know, like, all of that, but the different football stadiums have their history and their vibe. Sure. And you know, going, I went to Old Trafford when I was 16. My dad took me, I was very lucky. It's like a lifelong memory that I really do like cherish, for lack of a shittier word. Mm-hmm. And I've always promised I'll go again, so I'll go again. And it may not be a once in a lifetime thing, but probably no more than a handful of times in a lifetime. And it's very expensive and it's a cuck time of year, and I'm just not gonna go. I figure there will be other teams, other lineups, other better days, and I'll go then.
With no suctitude, as you said.
As I said, I don't mind if they lose. It's this cuck attitude. But yeah, so I had plans, and now I'm chilling. I'm going to be in Joburg for a lot of it. I might try to pick up some work. Or I might just like do cocaine and bone whores for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I've put money aside. I've been working corporate.
Exactly. It is the festive season, after all.
Gord, would you do that essentially over the Christmas days, or kind of over, like after?
That would be my Christmas lunch.
That would be the Christmas.
Oh. That would be his Christmas turkey.
Yeah. Because if you aim a naught just right, it makes like a little thimble cup thing, and you can put just the right amount of drugs in it. It's perfect. Like, I'll have a naughtful or a half naught. Wow. Depending on how far into the jewel you're in.
Wow.
So listen, he arrived this morning. I arrived at the same time as Gord, which has never happened before.
Yeah, literally never before.
Which is why it's interesting to observe him. So he arrives and he pulls into the parking, and he's got this metal music playing, which is the same kind of thing that Nolo would have playing.
It was Ghost. It was probably identical to what Nolo would have playing, because Nolo and I are soulmates and are meant to be together.
Oh, Nolo. Yeah.
Not after you just talked about cocaine and noughts. Maybe she's a bit nervous.
No, she's probably a little bit nervous around you.
I don't know, Gord.
That's when I'm single and I'm alone in December. It's like, not talking about relationships,
but you're just talking about.
Morning, my life is complete, says Grant. Gord is back. Whoop, whoop, Grant and Nelspruit.
I love you, Grant.
Quentin says, Gord, welcome back. Thankfully not dead. Ben almost got put down with you.
Yeah, it was a tough time, Gord.
Why did they want to put
you
down?
Did you hear about Ben?
No.
Ben had a terrible, terrible situation happen. He was basically reduced to being in a wheelchair.
Oh, my fuck.
Yeah, my back did a thing that I shouldn't really do a thing with.
Golf related?
No, not at all. But we've all been through that story. I mean, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Like, I'm here also not dead.
Now, dude, I know about when your back goes, it's bad. It's proper. When your back says proper fuck. Like when your back says, hey, man, you're a dick. That's one thing. But when your back says, fuck you. With then your voice, back wins. Oh. Yeah, always, you can go, fuck you too, back. But back's like, oh, really? Hey, good. Try wiping your bum today, son. Just try and get up. See if you can stand up.
It was so hard for 2 days to wipe a bum. It was horrendous.
Your back does a special whistle. Which calls a bear, and your back goes, right, good luck, get away from this bear. See how you do it without me.
Wow, your bodies are really fascinating.
Well, we're gonna George or just died. You're gonna find out which.
Where's Dan?
I thought we had rescheduled that.
See,
one.
Sia's got a very fast metabolism. He's thin. He's young.
Good for George drawing as well.
No, but he doesn't know about these problems. He thinks he's the half. Listen, I know what Sia's doing because I was once there. He's not listening to you. He goes, "Oh, these old people, their problems." But one day,
hang on. You talk about this
15 years.
You talk about this fast metabolism. I was scrolling through Instagram over the weekend, and a certain fast metabolism young individual here on Instagram story couldn't quite fit into a pair of pants, Gareth.
Ooh. Yeah, but that was more because his pair of pants had been tailored incorrectly. You missed out on that.
Let's not make the excuse that everyone's going to go, "Oh, shame excuse." I think, you know.
Did you put a picture up of your pants that didn't fit?
No, well, the picture shows me looking fit.
Show me that picture, please.
You know, there are reasons why your pants suddenly don't fit other than just putting on some... Wait, there's just sometimes...
Let's not try that whole deprecating thing with me. Oh. No,
I'm not.
You.
I'm saying you might have just got like immense wood.
Jeepers, Gordy, you started with breakfast of rum or something.
I'm high on life.
It's a good picture, Sia.
But if you look at the knee, you can tell the material is basically saying, if I sneeze and I wasn't prepared for it, all of that material would go flying off me.
But you have to take risks in fashion, you know?
I get that literally wearing anything.
Carl says...
If I check my blind spot without thinking it through properly, I'll just like Hulk Hogan my t-shirt without my hands.
Carl says, it's so good to finally hear Gordlaw's brilliant brand of cynicism again. Welcome back. Regards, Carl.
I love you, Carl. I'm sorry I was gone.
All right. And Nolo, you also listen to this metal. You were getting all excited just now when I told the story about Gord getting out of his car. It sounded like Blitzkrieg was coming.
No, it wasn't that heavy. It was ghost.
Heavy, dude. Pinnacle to the pit.
That's the one I was playing.
It is a long way down.
You got to get some ghosts going out of the show.
Get excited, you two.
What just happened there?
We're like the guys in the car in Wayne's World in Bohemian Rhapsody comes up. I saw such an interesting thing with Mike Myers being interviewed where, like, similar people involved in the production of Bohemian Rhapsody were involved in the production of Wayne's World. It was like just like one dude that was important because it's the same studio or he was at the previous studio and he's now at the new studio, but a dude that was involved in producing Wayne's World. And Mike Myers fought hard to have the song Bohemian Rhapsody be that song in the car because he thought it would be funny to share this different singing parts. The studio wanted Guns N' Roses because they were really big at the time.
Yes.
And Queen, while still very popular, were a little bit sort of dad music at that stage already for young kids.
Right.
And so Mike Myers fought hard because he really wanted it and eventually succeeded. And he went in and a guy in the studio was like, "Kids are never going to get into that song. That's a song for old people. Plus it's, you know, operatic and it's not hip and you'll never get the reaction you want." And he was like, he fought. And they let him do it, and it's one of the like iconic highlights of Wayne's
Absolutely.
World. So now there was a time when Queen wanted to make that the single from their album. And the like record studio old guy was like, "The songs have to be 3 minutes long, and that's the radio format.
It doesn't
it's
fit
too
the...
complicated, and it's you got to go with one of the other songs." And they fought and they fought, and Freddie Mercury was like, "Screw you, we're doing it." So Mike Myers was asked, "Do you want to be the record executive that tells them no, they can't release?"
Oh, wow. So they gave him a bit part. First, that's amazing.
Yeah. And he was just like, and they were like, "Do you want to read the part?" And he was like, "No. Just tell me where to be."
That's amazing.
I'm there.
He knew about it.
Yeah, Wayne's World, what a classic.
That's a great movie.
And Wayne's World 2 as well. It was one of those ones where the sequel was just as good. It was really good.
So listen, there are a few things that I do want to do before we get to the five things you need to know today. And then you can also call us if you want to, 0861-555-189. So Michelle saying, "Welcome back, Gordon. Nice having you there to interrupt Ben again."
Although ironically, he interrupts me, but that's okay.
Pablo says, "Please get Conrad Koch and Chester Missing on your show. The two have a new political satire show on ENCA.
Geez.
It would be nice to have them on the Burning Platform just to give us a roundup of the year." Well, I thought he'd kind of given up on comedy because he was unable to sell out his shows. It became a bit embarrassing. he'd become very political, very politically correct. And you know where political correctness lives, humor cannot thrive.
No.
So I thought that maybe he'd given up on comedy. I'm interested to hear that he's got a show. It's probably a serious show, though, I would imagine.
It's on ENCA.
Well, then it's a serious show. It's probably got no – there's no – look at that.
A big spectrum of the definition of political correctness. I mean, obviously, there are other things encompassed, but it's almost like the monitoring, filtering, watering down, and control of things considered comedic.
Yeah. Usually the most politically correct people you'll meet are also the least humorous.
The ones that tell you what is and isn't allowed to be funny.
Yeah, and there are a couple of those. You've been putting some funny stuff up on Facebook and so on over the last couple of weeks, and you also sent some very funny WhatsApps.
Yes.
I played that one with the Sinmo app.
Dude, I got one I want to pass you, and I'll send it to you offline, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Where there's this amazing music producer. He's actually really well known. He's called Crank Lucas.
Yeah.
He's actually like legitimately produced a lot of big artists. He produced most of Method Man, Redman, Blackout 2, which is quite a classic album. He produces big artists, but he also has like a lot of comedy skits. He does a rap where he explains how black holes work, but he explains it correctly. And he also imitates other rappers in the studio and like why it's impossible to produce them. And it's so funny. And he just did one recently where he wasn't rapping. He was just having a rant about why turkey can fuck off at Thanksgiving. And I'm going to send the clips to you, and you can check them out offline, and you will absolutely love. I've been meaning to tell you about him for months, and I just always forget. Crank Lucas. Check him out on Facebook.
With
check
a K,
him out.
Crank?
Regular spelling of Crank, yeah, C-R-A-N-K, okay. Lucas. Facebook, Instagram, and the rest.
Gord, you have been spending a lot of time in corporate. You're speaking corporate
he
now.
Just went, we'll
you have no
offline.
Idea how corporate I actually offline. Get.
Can you?
You guys have no idea
how corporate,
corporate
can
I
you be?
Like long pants?
Thanks. No. But that's a Trojan horse, though. The tattoos, the football hooligan thing, the shorts, they don't take you seriously. The thing is, a guy in a suit, right, who's only ever had sex in the missionary position, only ever shopped at Boardman's, watches the Super 14, and has never told an original joke that didn't end in butt. When you walk into the boardroom, and you're like this guy that's like the consultant we brought on to do something, they think, oh, look at this fucking idiot, like, with his tattoos and shit. And then you go, right, gentlemen, I'd like to sit you down. I hope everyone's got water. This is going to take a little while, and I'll refer you to my presentation. Okay, we've been doing things badly.
Or any podcast I've been on.
Yeah, no, like it totally disarms them. And by the end, they all want to come up to you and like tell you, like, I've got this tattoo. Check, and they roll up their sleeves, and it's like a James Small tattoo. And they're like, yeah, it was leg sore, eh? Thinking of getting it removed, though. Do you know any good removers?
So like, hang on, how corporate do you become?
I get corporate as.
Tell me.
Are you going to – okay.
Okay, pretend I'm in a meeting with you.
Gareth, thanks for coming to the meeting. It's wonderful to have you here. Now, listen, I know we're all pressed for time, everybody, so I'd like to get straight into it.
You have to say that. You're right, yeah.
I know I'd like to get straight into it. Now, the presentation is long, and I'm not going to read everything that's on the screen. I'm going to leave that behind with you guys to go through in your own time. So let's just get straight to the gist of it. The first three slides, mostly introduction. Welcome, etc. hi there. You're late. That's okay. What's your name? I'm Gordon. Lovely to see you.
Okay. Even Gordon.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm Gordon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we've got is a situation where we're aware of the fact that there are weaknesses in our strategy. Obviously, that's why I'm here. The positives are that we've got the will and the resources to try to change that. Again, reason that I'm here. Now, what I don't want is for the light bulb manufacturers to tell the advertising people, hey, we need you because we don't do advertising, but then make their own ads. So with all due respect, while everybody's participation and input is appreciated, we need to do this from the perspective of letting the team that are managing the project run the project.
Wow, so it's look at you.
Wow. Yeah.
Sounds like every boring meeting I've been in the last 6 years.
But then I put jokes in the prezo. That's another thing. You put jokes in the fucking presentation. It disarms them fully. They love you by the end of it because you're cool.
Do they appreciate it?
Yeah, look, dude, I mean, you've got to
– these are people who have lives. They have a sense of humor. They have work.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always people behind the suit. So you got to cover the work do the work. No amount of, like, entertaining fluff around the thing is going to change it if you haven't done the work properly. But if you do the work properly, you've got a bit of a – I mean, the way I look and –
You've got some maneuvering room.
The way I look and the way that I am is not a gimmick. But it is kind of a novelty to a lot of these guys.
Totally a novelty.
Then you speak well. Then your content is good. Then you've got a few entertaining bits and pieces stuck in the presentation. And by the end of it, when you walked in and they went like, Isaac must be on drugs and satanistic. What's he doing in our boardroom? Afterwards, they're like, I've got a cousin who's cool. You'd like him.
All right.
Just your experience.
28 after 6, we've got to get into the 5 things you need to know. You want to know some stuff? Okay, Momentum have announced that they'll be paying out the 2.4 million rand life insurance policy to a Durban widow whose husband was gunned down in a hijacking. You remember we talked about this briefly yesterday. It's been an issue all week. A lot of people climbed into Momentum saying, you have to pay these people out. Their blood sugar levels have nothing to do with the hijacking.
It sounds like a decent reason.
I think so too, right? And clearly they also thought so because they've done an about turn. The company had come under fire for refusing to pay the sum to Denise Ganas, whose husband was killed last year in their Chatsworth driveway. Earlier this week, Momentum said it would not fork out because the man who was killed, Nathan Ganas, had failed to disclose that he had suffered high blood sugar levels. Like that has anything to do with when you're killed by a hijacker.
Yeah, that's total bullshit.
Right.
That's like the car company not being willing to, the car insurance people not being willing to pay out your insurance claim because your car license was expired for 3 days and then your car got stolen off a road while you were having lunch.
Right. So they've now buckled. The CEO, Johan Leroux, has told the Money Show's Bruce Whitfield that Momentum has developed a new solution for the families of clients who've died in violent crime, which will see them receive up to 3 million rand in life claims, even if they haven't fully disclosed health issues. Because the two are unrelated. So a little bit of public pressure. And if you want to say that, if you want to use the term social justice, which I'm just violently opposed to, then this is the one place it seems to me it's appropriate. And it seems to me that it's the right place to do useful and good and powerful and positive things. So well done to everybody involved in that. The ANC have been backed into a corner over the VAT hike. So the ANC have been forced to back this year's VAT hike while opposition parties slammed the move, blaming the ruling party for mismanaging the economy and state finances. This happened about 10 hours ago. Do you want to hear more?
Yeah.
So legislation giving effect to the increase in VAT from 14 to 15% was eventually passed. This is something that was tabled in the budget last year, remember? It was eventually passed, earlier this year, not last year, by the National Assembly. After a fierce debate which saw the ANC promising that the impact of the hike would be reviewed in 2021. No one likes the VAT increase, not least the ANC. It argued the stagnant economy, big revenue shortfall, and having to fund fee-free higher education left the government with no option. Why do we have this situation? Because we have a bunch of people in the political realm who've never, ever earned a cent of their own money and who don't know how to manage money. They have no idea of how much income and expense have to do with each other. They don't understand cash flow. They just think it's a bottomless pit from which they can steal and steal and steal.
It's like me being made the official national coach of the high jump and the hurdles.
Yeah, no, exactly. Completely out of place.
Like they've never had to actually budget. So now they're going to wait till 2021. But we can review this right now. You are fleecing people, so it's a failure.
It's a disaster. It's not going to work
right
in the long term.
Yeah. In 2018.
And by the way, we've been paying this 15% already. So this just shows you that their laws don't matter.
Whereas government, ours do.
Yeah, government, your laws don't matter. People don't care about your laws. Listen very carefully. Your 15% VAT has already come into effect for most people. Businesses have priced it in. Corporations are now charging it everywhere. On all goods, you could see a VAT VAT price has increased from 40 to 15%. The only ones who are straggling in the background, who are waiting to get their job done, are you, the legislators. And you've still, after almost a year, not been able to pass this legislation. That shows me who the productive and useful part of the population are and which ones are just leeches and parasites. It's you, National Assembly. So there we go.
We should just base the rules on the Ten Commandments, look back at the 6,000 years that Earth has been around, deduce what science we can from that, and it would all work perfectly. I won't covet your goat. You don't stone my daughter if she stole your bread, we'd be fine.
Generally don't steal, though. It's a good one.
Speaking of politicians, big news this week, Pravin Gordhan has hit back at the EFF. He said, I don't submit to intimidation or bullying.
Or children.
Yeah. Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan has indirectly responded to the economic freedom fighters, challenging the party to hand over evidence against him to the State Capture Commission and warning that he won't submit to bullying. Well, of course, there won't be any evidence because there isn't any, and the EFF are just noisy grandstanders who've been pushed into a corner by an electorate who now expect them to deliver on the promises that they've made. They can't deliver on these promises because they're a tiny minority party. They don't have the requisite support. They are noise bags. This is all you need to know about the EFF. They will achieve nothing, not in your lifetime or in 200 lifetimes. And their policies will take us back, not forward. That's all you need to know.
Julius threatened about a possible loss of life when he was speaking on this.
I heard this.
And I was really, really, really frustrated because I'm like, who are you talking to? Is this you or are you saying these things because the people that you're talking to respond to such and they back you when you speak in this manner?
Well, I mean, who speaks? What kind of a responsible person does this?
It's time that the people of South Africa must know that from 2009, when Pravin was made the Minister of Finance, he was the biggest enabler of state capture. He was the biggest defender of Jacob Zuma. Yes. And we have since sent him questions.
But you guys and Jacob
Zuma. You were the biggest supporter of Jacob Zuma, didn't you?
Like, there was that joke that went like
40% for Woodwork.
40% for Woodwork, 100% for Jacob Zuma.
I mean, Jacob Zuma would never have won the Polokwane election of the ANC if Julius hadn't backed him. And if all these other guys who've suddenly gone all holier than thou and pure and clean. I'm talking about people like Zwelin Zimavavi and Bladen Zimande and Julius. They all were big supporters of Jacob Zuma. And the other thing that's interesting is, you know who Tom Moyane's lawyer is, right? Dalimpofu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now the EFF have thrown their weight behind Tom Moyane. Guess who else has thrown his weight behind Tom Moyane? Jacob Zuma. So, again, the thieves all find each other somehow. So that was Floyd outside of the state capture inquiry. But here's what Julius said. He said that it is with a clear mandate that this man must step down as an MP and as a minister. He's never met the Guptas. He lied. It's high time we take this demonstration seriously. And then he did go on, as Nolo said, to threaten violence against journalists, effectively. He'll say he didn't, but it was pretty clear he did. He also called one of the evidence leaders at the State Commission, the State Capture Commission, called him a bastard, which, by the way, is actionable. So expect someone, some concerned citizen, to bring another court case against Julius.
When you say it's actionable, do you mean that's like qualifies as hate speech or defamation?
No, it's more than that, because if you insult the people who are running the State Capture Commission from a political point of view, there are consequences in law. So,
but bastard's like crossing the line.
Yeah, bastard is pretty much saying that this guy is not credible. You're trying to draw a veil over the State Capture Commission. So he could go to jail or he could pay a fine. Of course, we'll have to fight tooth and nail for that fine.
What I'm kind of asking is there like a scale of what you can and can't say? Can you call him a dick?
I'll read the part to you of the since you asked, Gord.
Yeah, is there like a list of words like I can call you a deckhead or a poo-poo right. face, but so, not a bastard or a wanker. But,
yeah. Since you asked, here it is. Section 12.1. Any person who insults, disparages...
He just has it on hand. Sorry to interrupt, but you just have it like, oh shit, I've got this law. One click. By. It wasn't a 7-click process. He opened his phone.
Section 12 of the Zonda Commission Proclamation is clear. All right, here it is. If anyone who insults, disparages, or belittles the chairperson or any member of the commission or prejudices the inquiry or proceedings or findings of the commission, they are guilty of an offense and liable to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 6 months.
What's this? Calling a dick, 6 months. But yeah, basically it means like...
It's quite a draconian law.
It's almost about like disrupting the course of process, yes. More than it is bastard is something that's unfair
correct.
To say.
Correct. The city of Cape Town have signed a 1.3 billion rand loan with the German Development Bank to target wastewater treatment. Forms part of a development cooperation agreement between South Africa and Germany. And Cyril was in Cape Town yesterday to meet with the German president to mitigate the effects of climate change and contribute to water resilience. The loan will be used to co-finance the upgrade of 25 wastewater management facilities. So there we go. Your poo is about to be recycled by the Germans.
Nice.
If you're in Cape Town. And finally, there are more.
And who better?
Who better than...
Germans do everything well, except peacefully living with other countries.
But we can move past that.
But yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah. They do everything else well.
Let's overlook
it.
Literally, they do everything else well.
Some exciting news. There are more heat waves expected. Mm-hmm. Following a week of scorching temperatures.
This week, I wanted to go and commit, and this is not in my like natural field of sexual preference, but I wanted to go and commit an act of pedophilia just so that I could immediately shoot myself, ensure going to hell, and be less hot. That's how fucking hot it
is.
It's a twisted way of getting cool.
That's a series of events right there.
Yeah, I was just like, please can somebody kill me. I had my car parked. I was working in this office in Hyde Park. Cool people, little ad agency need some help. I had my car parked, I mean, 3 tennis court lengths distance from the entrance to the building where it's air conditioned to the car. And I left my little Tupperware of school lunch in my car. I forgot it. When I just didn't eat. I wasn't prepared to go and get it because it was so hot outside. I was like, fuck this. I'm hungry, but I'll survive. I can feed off my natural storage. And I just left the food. It had evaporated into liquid. I opened and this was solid food. I opened the Tupperware and it just made a fart gas noise. And I inhaled a sandwich and some salad. I just hit it like poppers.
And that's what the heat wave does.
Last week, temperatures rose to as high as 37 degrees in some parts of Gauteng. And a scientist in the Environmental and Research Unit from the Medical Research Council says heat waves will occur more frequently in the southern part of Africa as a result of
global warming that doesn't exist because of Donald Trump.
El Nino.
We will start.
I should stick their measuring thing in my pants and see what it does to the averages.
Okay.
We will see these heat waves happening more frequently and becoming more intense year on year. The temperature increases could go up by 4 degrees Celsius compared to previous years. Well,
when? Like 4 degrees a year? Or well, 4 degrees in the next many years?
4 degrees in the next many years.
Because you are.
Okay. Just everybody calm down. Gord, buy an air conditioning unit, one of those portable ones.
I'm literally going to, I'm not even exaggerating, I'm literally making plans for the sort of medium term in the next year to 2 years to move somewhere cold.
You can have like a diva fan.
Because even when I'm in good shape, I can't live with the heat. And now it's like I said, like the wetsuit with margarine. I just can't fucking live. No.
Poor Gord.
I promise you, I'm looking to buy a new car soon, and my number one criteria is how good's the aircon.
When
they want to take you, because the current car I've got I hate, but the aircon rules. So like I'm going to stick a test drive. We show you we got this new thing. Look at the bonnet. It like retina displays your mood. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be like, close the doors, put the aircon on full, and I've got a stopwatch.
Oh.
And I like disqualify people based on that.
Guillermo saying, just tuned in, welcome back, Heavy G. And guys, yes. please do not get Conrad Koch and that fuck-faced Chester missing. The unfunniest duo since 2 World Wars. That's Shane. Ankia says...
I'm stealing that for the future.
Ankia says, with reference to the Momentum story, a friend of mine sells long-term insurance. And says it's easier to get someone life cover if they're HIV positive than when they have diabetes. The reason for HIV, your reason being with HIV, you take pills and no lifestyle changes required. With diabetes, there's a lifestyle change required. That's interesting, right?
Hmm.
It is.
Kind of almost makes sense, really.
Yeah, so there we go. There's some additional information. All right, Bitcoin, $4,501 and Ethereum, $134.
You. Even I, with no interest in this, know how
right
much that's
down
sucks.
With shit creek.
Like, it's like an oak that doesn't watch cricket knows that 17 all out is bad.
All right, speaking of which, here's Ben with the sport.
The IAAF snub Caster Semenya, the cricketers, they're back in action today in Mzansi Super League, and drunk curlers are causing havoc in Canada. So we all know Caster Semenya is pretty good at athletics, whether it be the 400, the 800, the 1,500 meters. She pretty much cleans up, and that is on a global stage. She retained the 800-meter IAAF Diamond League title this year, along with the 800 and 1.5 double at the Commonwealth Games And she won the 800 and 400 African Championships too. She set a new record for the 400 and 1,500 meters and shattered the 800 and 1,000 meters African record. Jeepers, just saying all that's made me tired. And that's just what she's done this year. But has she made it to the top five list of the IAAF Female Athletes of the Year? No. No is the answer.
Why?
No.
Why would they on purpose leave her out? And these guys have got to come up with some kind of consistency.
Is she competing against She-Ra, Xena, Warrior Princess, fucking Captain Marvel, Elektra, and the Black Widow from the Marvel Universe? Are they the five that did make it?
No, just five women whose names are very hard to pronounce. So naturally, I'll give them a go. Katerine Ibarguen, she's a long and triple jumper. Beatrice Chepchoke. Probably get that one right. 3,000 meter steeplechaser. Nafistao Tayem, she's the heptathlon high jump athlete. Shawnee Miller Ubi.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus. It's like the.
Give you a mulligan, but you're doing well so far.
Shawnee Miller Ubo, she's a 200 and 400 meter runner. And then Dina Asher Smith. Thank you, Dina. That's pretty painless. The 100 and 200 meter
she's
runner.
She's in it because her name's easy. Like.
So those are the IAAF shortlisted athletics women people for the 2018 awards. But no Costa. Now, people are obviously saying, yeah,
they just cast her aside.
They just cast her aside, cool. They did. Just cast her aside. They're delaying this whole testosterone thing for like another 5 months. Because the whole high testosterone level issue is what obviously makes Carsten such a controversial athlete in these circles. So either way, she's got no award, and she's going to have a career in limbo now. Cricket. The Pakistan, as they are currently known as, kind of like the French. Like, when you look at rugby, the French always used to be unpredictable, hugely talented, could be any team, ultimately do lose. But now France are just completely shite, so now cricket, in the cricket world, Pakistan have taken on this title, really. They could be so good, these guys. They have the ability to be, I mean, they were the world number one test team for quite some time, and they did this without even playing at home.
In my youth, they were like the proper ex.
Yeah, they always had like such star players.
Like Yunus, Wasim Akram.
Yeah, guys that could bowl like 180 kilometers an hour with like reverse swing, and batsmen who could literally with one hand score a double 100.
I actually used to commit suicide in the tunnel rather than having to face Yunus.
Yeah, exactly. But against New Zealand yesterday in Abu Dhabi, they had a pretty routine victory on their hands. But no, they went full Proteas, 171 all out. Things weren't looking too bad. But then, basically, the middle to lower order just completely crumbled. I mean, the final from Asad Shafiq, who scored 45. From there, it was just nothing. 13-3-0-0-0. Those were the scores of the batsmen. And with that, New Zealand won the test match by 4 runs. How absolutely thrilling. I tell you what's also thrilling is the Mzansi Super League's here.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's sort of got back in action yesterday. The Jersey Stars bounced back by beating Gareth's team, the Paul Rocks. So Gareth, you owe me $20.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah. There's money as well.
Well, we said our teams are playing, so $20 on the line.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today we have the Proteas returning. So this is the great thing about this league is that all the Proteas have committed to it. So for the Cape Town Blitz, we've got the incredible Farhan Behardin, Quinton Lecoq, and Andile Fetlokwaya all returning to the Cape Town Blitz team. And then for the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, there's Chris Morris and Imran Tahir. They'll be back in action. That game will be taking place at 7 o'clock today at Newlands. Prior to that, though, we've got the Durban Heat versus the Tshwane Spartans. Very exciting Saturday. So you've got a doubleheader today, 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the Mzansi Super League.
Right.
Talking of cricket, those cheating trio from Australia will not have their bans reduced. So Steve Smith, David Warner, and Cameron Sandcrotch, they're going to have to serve their entire bans. Now, the Australian Cricket Association, ACCA, now they've been crying and pleading innocence, all that kind of stuff. They said, look, what's done is done. These young guys, they've learned from their mistakes. Bollocks. Anyway, so Cricket Australia said, no, we're going to stand firm, and they are going to serve their 12 months ball tampering suspensions. So that was from March until March. So basically, they're still on holiday. Well, not actually Steve Smith. He's just been signed by the Pakistan Premier League T20.
Oh, so he's got a job. That's all right.
Well, yeah, because you can still play these mercenary T20 leagues. So he'll still make some cash. He'll still be putting bat on ball. Now, curling, it isn't really a sport you associate with hooligan behavior, but Ryan Fry, now you might know him, he won gold in the Sochi Olympics.
All right.
When Canada defeated Great Britain in a thrilling final. Well, him and his mates, well, they just turned the Red Deer Curling Classic on its head in Alberta, Canada recently. They were drunk, they were aggressive, they were breaking brooms, they were shouting, and they were damaging locker rooms. So much so...
Hell yes.
So much so that the Red Deer Curling Classic had to disqualify the team.
Hell yeah.
I've been saying that what curling has lacked since its heyday in the 60s and 70s is rock stars. The curlers used to get up in the hotel room. They used to do noughts and cocaine. They used to throw TVs out the windows. I mean, you knew when a curling team was in town, shit was going to go down. Nowadays, it is all so professional with their doping and their high-performance institutes. This is good.
Well, Gorge, you might say it's rock and roll. I call it just common vandalism. So good on the Red Deer Classic, Curling Classic in Alberta, to laying down the law to these hooligans. And may this be the last time we see this.
So sterilized.
Ryan Fry, of course, does have a tribal tattoo on his right bicep, so we should have seen the warning signs from a while ago.
Dude, I mean, tribal tattoo on right bicep, you might as well knock yourself out. Save some time.
Of a curling person. The Box play Wales this weekend. Now, Rusty Rasmus really is trying to find ways of motivating his Chargers for one last push before they get into the summer holidays, and he says this is very much the toughest game on the tour, and he actually might be right. Now, Wales have always had a pretty solid team, always kind of the same faces, so massive continuity here. And of course, Gatland has been the coach since I think Tom Jones was still on the charts. It's been there for a while.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, but they will be missing Lee Halfpenny this weekend. Now, here's their talismanic, is that a word?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Their talismanic fullback, who basically is probably the most handsome man in the team. He sings well, and he kicks brilliantly too. One of those features make him a good rugby player, but the rest is just for you for free, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he won't be playing, but there's still so much talent in this whole Welsh setup. Will the Box have enough to beat them? This really is going to be a ding-dong arm wrestle battle. The important thing, though, is Sir Khaleesi will be playing. He was cited for a reverse headbutt. Well, just a headbutt. Basically, this guy was holding him down on the ground against the game against Scotland. And he was like, well, screw this. And he lashed out at this guy with the back of his head because his limbs were being restricted. I'm not endorsing it, of course. It's just that these things do happen when people try and really upset your captain. So anyway, he's been cleared to play. And Faf de Klerk will not be playing, however. So Imbros Papier will be given another go. We'll know more about this team on Thursday. So I'll give you a full wrap on what's happening on Friday with the sport. Of course, all the other big fixtures, because England will take on Australia, which will be another big test match. And New Zealand will be playing, I think, against Italy. So, well, good luck, Italy.
All right.
All Blacks just lost a match against Ireland, so they'll be gunning for you guys. The match. Anyone any idea what the match is?
It sounds like some advertisers got hold of sport.
Yeah. But what's it about, though?
Don't know.
It's the golf match, Gareth. It's between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Winner takes all, 9 million rand. None of this let's raise money for charity bollocks. They want cold hard cash in their cold hard hands. And the pay-per-view TV is getting amongst it. It'll be taking place in Las Vegas and in South Africa. If you do want to watch it, well, say thanks to Supersport. They are actually screening this thing, so you won't have to pay any extra money. It'll be there November 23rd, so this Friday. From 10 o'clock South African time, you can see the match where Tiger and Phil basically try and make themselves both incredibly relevant again, which Tiger can do. Phil, not so
it's
much.
Like an MMA super fight.
Yes, but
it's
golf.
Yes, so it's like when they say, okay, cool, like Daniel Cormier is going to fight Brock Lesnar because it's what people want to see, not because it's what the rankings dictate needs to happen.
Very good analogy, because, well, let's be honest, Phil's kind of past it. Oh, that's Phil's entrance theme for the first tee on Friday.
They were getting him ready.
Tiger's Tiger. The comeback story has been probably the biggest sports story of the year. But I think these two, they've always had a bit of banter. And in recent years, they've kind of become friends, which I don't really believe, because deep down, Tiger doesn't need friends. He just needs, as Gord would say, noughts. But hey, I think it's going to be entertaining. If nothing else, it's better than nothing. People are always going on about things nowadays, going, ah, that's so shit.
And bragging, right?
And so critical. But this is still something to talk about. This is still something to watch.
I dig it. Yeah. I dig this idea of, like, rivals and anything being stuck together. Like, they don't just have to meet each other in, as a result of the round robin and the, you know, the chips falling where they may. You're like, screw it. Like, we're going to have this bowler bowl against this batsman for like X amount of overs and see how many times he goes out and see how many runs he makes.
That's really smart. Exhibition cricket.
But or, like a bowler via batsman.
Yeah, but this is the future of sport, guys. This is it. Because sport has to be competing against everything entertainment-wise. So therefore, you've got to package this stuff. Sure, we have the existing conventional tournaments and the tours and all that kind of stuff. But back in the day, there used to be, I think, the Shell Wide World of Golf or something or other. And they used to have these exhibitions all the time. Mr. Gary Player would actually go and like play against the best in the business.
Well, that's always fun. They've been doing that in basketball for years as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would like, I was just spitballing and talking some shit. But if you had like a really highly respected bowler from one team and a really highly respected batsman from another team, you said, okay, cool, 25 overs, 5 overs at a time with breaks. And that's it. How many times did you get the oak out? What was the score?
I like it, God. No. Look, I tell you what, it's no worse than the T10 that's currently happening.
Please tell me there's not a fucking T10.
There is.
Oh, God.
Chris Gayle is taking a break from the Jersey Stars in the Mzansi Super League to go play T10 cricket.
How many people are in a T10 team? Because, I mean, Sixers used to be cool. Yeah. That was a different thing.
And that was in Hong Kong where there was just mostly drunks.
Yeah. No, it was a cool idea.
God, I'm going to say I'm not giving the T10 any more airtime other than the fact that I'm telling you it is happening right now.
But is it just one question? Is it a full, like, 11-man team? Yes. Fuck that shit.
Exactly. And that's pretty much it for your sport for this Wednesday. I'm sure there's going to be F1 this weekend, I think Abu Dhabi. And even though there's nothing to watch from a sporting perspective there, it's always a great night race. And around the Yas Marina Stadium. Yas.
Yas Marina.
Yas Marina.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. Sia, over to you. What's happening in Said by Sia?
Today, the 21st of November, is World Hello Day. It's a simple greeting, but actually, according to research, it really can have profound effects. Science reveals that social interaction, just by saying hello to someone, can help us live better, live healthier, live happier, and longer lives. Yet why is it that so many of us are missing out on these chances? I read an article around World Hello Day and the importance of being able to connect to one another. Mm-hmm. It was written by Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He's
That's the good Gupta.
Yeah, the good Gupta. And he reports that actually loneliness is becoming quite a silent epidemic that's sweeping around society. According to more research that Dr. Gupta has done and working with the University of Chicago, at any given time, at least 1 in 5 people are suffering from loneliness. And more so, this is what he found. I found this fascinating. Air pollution, obesity, and excessive alcohol use have been found to increase a person's mortality rate by 6, 23, and 37% respectively.
Sure.
Yet, loneliness may increase your risk by a shocking 45%.
Oh, yeah, wow. I can totally agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, last night I was lonely. I was home alone. I had 2 glasses of wine.
Did you feel sad, Ben?
Yeah. Well, I had work to do, so you know, work sets me free ultimately. But there was moments where I was lonely, sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a solution of a kind coming up a little later on with Neo Ramafoko, who's the founder of the Safe Space Facebook group. Now, I know that name might put a lot of people off, but I'll tell you, she's doing excellent work here because she has decided to host a talk on mental illness at Metropolis on Park Avenue in Sandton. And she was motivated to create this because she's living with a mental illness. And she's seen a lot of people in South Africa who are also dealing with the same thing. So we'll speak to Neo in a little while and find out what she's up to. Mm. But you say loneliness 40% more deadly than obesity and...
Well, loneliness may increase your risk.
When I get 45%. Lonely, I'm fucked. Right.
But and it's not rocket science. This is what they all say.
And sometimes I'm lonely and I do rocket science to pass the time.
God, the end is not nigh. Calm down. They say just having a very basic social life, it actually helps in being able to, you know, the more you have friends, friends are able to even advise you on little things like, yo, are you really making the best choices? Are you really being healthy right
now? Could be worried about how lonely you are and all that rocket science you do when you're lonely.
God, God, I'm here for you.
You also fine. Hold back on the pies, buddy. Those were for everyone.
I'm here for you. I'll help you out with your loneliness. We'll get through this together. And concluding this study by Dr. Gupta, actually, over a given period, people who have strong ties to family, friends, or coworkers have a 50% greater chance of outliving those with fewer social connections. So just note the stay down and start living what this day is all about. World Hello Day.
And
just
I fully believe in the power of greeting people.
Greet someone you've never greeted this morning.
Greet people first. A lot of people think it's their right to be greeted before they greet back. Mm. Be the nice person first, even if the other person just like is a dick and ignores you or grunts at you or whatever. Yeah. Be the person that smiles. It doesn't cost you anything. And it sounds preachy and pontificating, but it actually, like, as much as you think, I'm going to do everyone a favor because I'm such a nice person, I'm going to be nice to everyone, you make your own life better.
Yes,
the response you get from
you lubricate the social
fabric. Yeah, and people greet you back. And then the person that works at the garage where you occasionally stop on your way home from work and every now and again have to pick up bread and milk, that you start to recognize, they're like, hey, it's you, the non-dickhead that I don't hate every day.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't know what other people are going through. If you're having better than a 50% day, saying hello is not going to cost you that much.
Yeah, and just you don't need to be greeted first in order to be worth, like, for it to be worthy. Just greet people, and even if they dicks to you back,
stop worrying about your place in the hierarchy and just start being generous. Yeah. Just be kind. Just be kind. That's all, right?
That's it.
That's it. It's beautiful. All right. More to come. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday morning. I hope you're ready to start your day with us. We're going to look after you and keep you company and all the good stuff between now and, what is it, 9 o'clock this morning. Right. So stick around for all of that. It's going to be good. Right, Sia?
Oh, we are here till 9. Okay, that's all right.
Yes. We're going to make, what is it, make Wednesdays great again.
Is it a long shift? I'm down. I'm keen.
We're making Wednesdays great again. That's what we're doing. By the way, we got rid of our coffee machine, Gord, so it may be a little bit difficult for you.
I'm down, but there's still Ernie, though, right?
Yeah, we made a plan.
Ernie's still in the house.
The Ern is still here,
okay,
yeah.
Well, me and Ernie go
Ern is
back.
In the house, so don't worry about that. Everything's going to be fine. All right, quickly, a message here from Michelle. She says, Conrad Koch was at Tumi Mraki's book launch the other day in Cape Town, but she doesn't say anything about how he performed. Mm. And then Julie says, hey, guys, two things. Lovely to hear your voice, Gord. And secondly, I so enjoyed the Renegade Report with Sihle Ngobese. Yeah, that's quite an interesting one. He calls himself Big Daddy Liberty. And you can go and listen to what Sihle Ngobese has to say. He's a very, very interesting chap. He's a politician who's turned away from politics. He's now in the private sector and is, he's a really, really interesting dude from a political philosophy point of view to just hear out. Got some interesting points of view about things. And the guy's got just a really nice personality as well.
Yeah,
Great brain.
He's a much nicer person than Conrad Koch as well.
Okay. All right, Ben. You just hold back, will you? Let's get cracking.
It's just a piece of information, Gareth.
All right. As you were, Ben. CliffCentral.com.